do coming up for you. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
For our guest, I'm Eddie Hilliard. I'm the lead pastor. This morning, if you have your Bible, turn to Judges chapter 6. If you don't, you can look on the screen for this. We're going to be talking about Gideon. Now, I got a lot I want to say about Gideon, so it may take me 2 or 3 weeks to do so. Blake tried to steal my sermon this morning during the praise and worship. So, you know, the Bible says in the New Testament, it says now that these things that happened in the Old Testament are for an example for us, or written for our instruction. So when you're reading the Old Testament, you have to read it in the light of the New Testament. That Jesus was the fulfillment of all prophecy. He was the fulfillment of everything that was in Christ Jesus. The world was created with the view in mind that Jesus Christ would come here, die on the cross, raised from the dead for the redemption of mankind. So everything, when you look at the Old Testament and you see these examples that we have of men and women who God dealt with, you have to look at it in the light of the redemption. For instance, we don't sacrifice animals anymore because Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice for us. And so God dealt with people in the Old Testament in such a manner that maybe he deals with us a little differently now because of the blood of Jesus and the grace that he gives, but there's still so much grace and mercy that has been poured out in the Old Testament. Many people try to attack Christianity based upon what's happened in the Old Testament. Let me tell you something. God didn't approve of everything that happened in the Old Testament. But let me tell you one thing that's interesting about the Old Testament is that they told the truth. This is really what happened. You know, I heard a man say one time, he said, if it was me writing about myself, I'd make myself look a whole lot better. So I know that the Spirit of God inspired them, and they wrote it. So when the great patriarchs or followers of God sinned, it didn't cut any corners. They did it. They messed up, and they did it. At least we become judgmental of them. Can you imagine that every mistake that we made is put on a piece of paper that people can read for thousands of years? So I try not to be too harsh for them. And I also try to take into account the history of things. Things were not the same in those primitive days in this ancient world as they are today. Mindsets are different. Things are different. And God had a completely different people he had to deal with versus us who have 2,000 years of Christianity to season what we think in our worldview. So that's how you look at the Old Testament. But when they messed up, so when I see where they messed up, and it's written down, it gives me all the more proof that this is true, what we're reading. That it is true and these things happened. When I examine the story of Gideon, there's a lot about him that reminds me of myself. He is a real relatable guy because in the midst of this, God took somebody who had a lot of weaknesses. Right. He had a lot of fears. But God somehow still used him to do what he wanted him to do. Where he became such an example for us because of some of the things that he went through. You know, you look at Joshua. Seemed like Joshua made one mistake in his entire life that's recorded. Seems like. So, you know, he's hard to follow after him. But it seems like but Gideon and many others, they messed up, but God still used them. God still used them. So what I want to do, I want to read this passage to you. I'm going to read through Judges chapter 6, some different verses. Then I'm going to go back verse by verse and talk about how those verses and what he went through relates to what we're going through in our own lives. So here in Judges chapter 6, let me sort of set the stage for you. Israel's in a time of suffering and domination by the Midianites. Their crops had been destroyed, their land was devastated, their livestock had been taken, and there was no sustenance in the land. In other words, they were going to starve to death. They had no way of feeding their families. They were dominated and abused and treated harshly by these Midianites. So this is where we pick up the story here of what's happening. It says, then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." We're going to come back and talk about that in a minute. Then Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord looked at him and said, "Go in your strength, deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" Then he said to him, "O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house." But the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man." So Gideon said to him, "For now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Please do not depart from here until I come back to you and bring my offering and lay it down before you." And he said, "I will remain until you return." Then we have several verses here where we see the angel of the Lord doing a miracle for him. Then in verse 22 it says, "When Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, 'Oh Lord God, for now I have seen the Lord face to face.' And the Lord said to him, 'Peace to you, do not fear, you shall not die.' And Gideon brought an altar there to the Lord and named the Lord is Peace. And it did, to this day it is still in Ophrah of the Abiites. Let me pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Jesus, as we study this morning, that you would lead and guide, that we would all receive what you have for us today. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. So starting back in verse 11, "Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak." And it says that Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." Now, Gideon is hiding in the winepress. And he calls him a valiant warrior. Let me tell you something. God saw something in him that nobody else saw. You know, sometimes we don't see ourselves the way God sees us. We don't see that God looks at you and says, "You're my man," or "You're my woman." Sometimes we don't even do that with people. We look at the negative. It's always easy to look at the negative in somebody or the flaws in somebody. And we don't look at them the way Jesus is looking at them, the one whom Christ died for. And we can be hard on people and not give them any grace or any move, just looking at the negative aspects. We underestimate the potential of others. But more importantly and more sadly, we underestimate the potential of ourselves. So much so, the devil can come into your mind and can tell you you're not important. Your life doesn't matter. You're not of any value. And maybe you feel like right now I have stumbled and fallen so many times, but God, when God saw a valiant warrior who was down in the winepress hiding and beating out wheat, you are a valiant warrior today if you know Jesus. Because of who Jesus is, he looks at you in such a manner and goes, "I love that child. That's my child. That's my son. That's my daughter." You know, it's easy to look out all our flaws. Now, if you say, "I don't ever have a flaw," well, you got pride. We'll deal with that later. But, you know, we all are going to have moments in life where we look at our shortcomings and what we can't do or what we can do, can't do. God is saying, "You're a valiant warrior. No matter what's happened in your life, you're valiant. You're an amazing warrior for Jesus in the good times and in the bad times. You are." So God is speaking over you the potential that he sees in you, I believe, just as he spoke over Gideon. And Gideon hadn't done anything special at that point, but he still spoke that over them, that you're important. Your life matters. I've got a call on your life. As I said, it's easy to see the blemish sometime and not always see how God sees things or how God sees people and even see how you see yourself. For those of us who struggle sometimes with that. Then in verse 13 it says, "And Gideon said to him, O Lord, if the Lord is with us," O Lord, small letter, Lord, "if the Lord Yahweh is with us, why then has this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." Now, Gideon is basically complaining about bad times right here. Have we ever complained about bad times? Just don't be harsh on Gideon now. Because I don't know many of us who haven't complained about something. Here in America, the most prosperous country in the world, we complained about something, haven't we? But in many ways, he's saying, where is God? Why isn't he fixing my problems? Why do I have to go through this? Why? Where? I've done that. These were life and death situations. So I can understand. They're trying to figure out if they're going to live or not. They're just trying to survive. We complain about our smartphone not working right and think God is making our life difficult. Let's compare and contrast here what he's having to deal with and what we're having to deal with. I remember when I got flooded out one time, people were rushing the bread counter, and I wouldn't even go over there after one of the floods years ago. And I thought, if they want that piece of bread that bad, I'm going to let them have it. They want that loaf of bread that bad. But we were in a grocery store back years ago after a flood, and people were swarming the bread. I don't know why people swarmed the bread counter, but they were swarming the bread counter. And I just said, if they want it that bad, I can believe God. And somebody, a lady picked up two and went up and handed me one. I said, well, all right, thank you, Jesus. I got a loaf of bread. So I got just a little bit of a glimpse of panic. I think Gideon had a lot of panic going on with him and his families and everybody around there. And then it says, he said, the Lord has abandoned us. I tell you what, there's times in life you're going to feel like God has abandoned you. If you've never experienced that, I hope you never do experience that. But when you get that bad report about your job, or you get that bad report about what's happening with one of your children, you always go, God, what's going on? You know, I've served you. I've lived for you. And there's this abandonment that can come. I'm in pain, God. It's abandoned. Or you get go to the doctor and you get the bad report about someone you love is going to die. Man, that's an abandoned moment right there. That happened to me and Catherine one time, and we went to our van and we wept and cried thinking, God, where are you? Where are you? So I understand what it feels like to feel abandoned. God, where are you in the midst of all this? I remember when I was in college, I was only like 22, 23 years old. My parents had come to us. We were having a special meeting that night, and my parents had come, and I was at work. I used to work with the agriculture department at NC State. Forgive me for all that you see. I did go to state. But anyway, I was at the agriculture department, and before I left, I started getting this migraine hit, and my eyes started blurring, and my head started hurting, and I drove home. My parents were there with my grandmother, and I walked in the house and said, I'm sick. I walked straight to the bathroom and started throwing up. I went and started laying on the couch. This is when I'm beginning to learn a little bit. I'm a young man, still learning. Heck, I'm still learning. Sometimes I feel like a young man trying to learn. But this is one of my first experiences of feeling that abandoned feeling. And I was laying on the couch, and all of a sudden, half my face started going numb. And then by the time they got me to the emergency room, I couldn't talk. They're wondering, have you OD'd on something? Have you had a stroke? And I'm laying there, throwing up, can't talk, eyes are blurred, laying there going, God, where are you? I'm just a young guy. I said, I can't have a stroke at this age. I got a lot of live. Lord, please don't let this be happening to me. I was feeling so bad. I laid there and said, Jesus, if you just want. I couldn't talk, so I said it to in my mind. I said, Lord, if you just want to take me right now, take me, because I feel so bad. I feel so bad. I'd want to go to be with Jesus right now. Anybody ever feel that bad before? I'm sure we've all had it. God, just go ahead and take me now, Lord. I think we all feel better if I did that right now. Then I had this little nudging in my spirit going, it ain't your time, son. Just bear with it. Believe. And so eventually, you know, I quit throwing up. My eyes cleared up. I had eventually was able to talk again. But it was a scary moment for anybody, but especially a young man like myself in college. But I felt abandoned. I have felt that abandonment. And I'm sure we could go all through this whole church, and everybody could come up here and say, I had this moment in my life where I felt like I was abandoned by God. And if you haven't experienced that, I hope you never do, but most likely you will. Because let me tell you something, when that happens, there's something God does down inside of you that can never be done unless He takes you through that kind of trial and tribulation. If you want to put steel in your spine, you're going to have a moment of abandoned feelings. I'm telling you right now, God wants to do amazing work within us. And He's going to take you through those moments. But there's something deep inside of you. There's steel down inside of you in those abandoned moments. Because when you're believing, when there's nothing to believe, when you feel like there's nothing to believe in, and you still believe and still trust in God when it seems like He's nowhere around. So I know what it feels like to be abandoned. But let me tell you something. There's something, I'm going to say it again, there's something that happens deep inside of a person when they're in that moment and they say, no matter what I feel, no matter what's going on in my life, no matter what my emotions tell me, no matter how negative things are, I'm going to believe God that He's a good God and Jesus is Lord, and I'm going to stand on that word no matter how I feel, no matter what's going on in my life. My world seems to be caving apart, throwing the world. Help me out, Irene. My world is caving around me. Let me get it out. And you still believe God in the midst of that. And then eventually, you're going to see the result. Jesus stood on the cross. He said, oh, my Father, why have you abandoned me? Why have you forsaken me is the word that He used. But what happened? He resurrected after that, changed the world forever, brought millions and millions of people into the kingdom of God for eternal life. In that moment, if you're a mighty valiant warrior, can He use you too? To raise you up in those moments? To use you for the kingdom of God? The Lord looked at him and said, next verse, go in your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? Now here's an interesting thing that's happening here. There tends to be a shift where now it's not just the angel of the Lord, it's Yahweh Himself. Now, for those Hebrew scholars out there, this is a theophany, they say, and possibly the angel of the Lord in this scenario could have been a pre-incarnate Christ at this moment. Don't know that for sure. But he said the Lord looked at him. So it's almost like he goes, I can't do this. And it's like it got God's attention. He looked at him and said, what am I, son? He faced him and he turned to him. You know, there's times in life we ask, does God see me? Does God really see me? Does He see what I'm going through? Does He see what I'm doing behind the scenes? Does He hear my prayers? Am I the only one that's ever wondered those things? He's doing that. And so right here it says, you know, we see Gideon going, where are you, God? He looked at him. I believe God is looking at us today. He is such a sovereign, huge God. He looks at us. He sees you. He sees what you do. He sees the labor of love that you do. He sees all you mothers, all the hard work you do for your children, all you dads and moms. He sees what you're doing. You students, when you're struggling in school and you're working as hard as you can, He sees what you're doing. He's looking at you. I believe today He's looking at us. He sees us. We're not just some piece of flesh walking around. He really knows us. He's intimately acquainted with all our ways. Then He says, go in your strength. Now, isn't that interesting? It's like God moved right past his weakness and His complaint right to what He's called Him to do. Thank God that He looks past our weaknesses. And He still wants to use us despite of ourselves. He still wants to use us. Some try to betray God in the Old Testament is harsh, but right here I see a lot of mercy and patience with God right here. He's telling Gideon, look, just go ahead and go. I got you in this. You know, God wants to use weak people. In 2 Corinthians it says, Jesus said this, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. This is in 2 Corinthians 12. Most gladly, therefore, I will boast rather about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. It's talking about Paul. Therefore, I will we're content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses and persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Jesus gives us strength for the journey. He gives us strength, O valiant warrior. He gives you the strength you need. Then it says, have I not sent you? He's showing confidence in him. Gideon has no confidence in himself, but God is showing confidence in him. Sometimes we just need somebody to pat us on the back and say, you're going to make it. Let me just tell you today, you're going to make it. Your pastor's telling you, patting you on the back, that you're going to make it. You're going to be all right. You're going to fight the battle. You're going to be victorious. You're going to come through this. Whatever's happening, you're going to make it. Because as Blake said, God's not done with you yet. He's not done with me. He's not done with any of us. Have I not sent you, O valiant warrior? Then he said to him, O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, which is one of the tribes of Israel. And I'm the youngest in my father's house. Dealing with self-doubt. Even after God has told him all this, he's got self-doubt. You know, God wants to use people who feel they don't matter. Let me tell you something. God wants to use you. Whether you feel like you're important or whether you feel like you're weak, God wants to, wants to use you. Here's an observation I see here. There's got to be something about Gideon that made God pick him. There's got to be something about him. I would say that Jesus cares more about character than he does about gifting. I'm sure he could have found somebody who was more talented or confident than Gideon. But he must have had something about his character that kept him going. A person, listen to this, I'm saying to you, a person can't always control their gifting. They can't develop it. I mean, some of us will never be a professional athlete. Most of us in the room. Do we even have a professional athlete in the room? So we can't always judge or make sure we are gifted in certain manners. We can develop our gifting, but you can dictate your character. You can dictate your character. It does not take talent to have character. You hear that? But it does take character to maximize your talent. You can be the most talented person, but if you don't have character to go with it, you're going to burn out. You're never going to be what God's called you to be. Character always triumphs talent. So he wasn't looking to Gideon's talent, he was looking to his character. I believe many of us in here are extremely gifted. But he's looking at your character before he takes your gifting and employs it to the degree that it needs to be employed. Character always trumps talent. Character always trumps talent. Character defines who you are. Ed Stetzer said this. He's a well-known church consultant. The secret to longevity and sustainability for the long haul is character. Character. In other words, are you who? Are you a person of your word? Are you honest? Do you live according to what this word says? Do you have good character? But the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. Again we see God telling Gideon with his patience, his long suffering, God is more than enough. I am more than enough for you. I am more than enough to get you over the top. I am more than enough. Then it says, please do not depart from here until I come back to you and bring out my offering and lay it before you. And he said, I will remain until you return. Please do not depart from here. Here again, I believe the Lord granted to him the sign that he wanted because he was humble. Character says humility. And I believe Gideon also knew he was on the edge here after asking God two or three times. He probably said, can you have a sign? I mean, you would think after that, after all that, he would say, do I need a sign now? But God, in his great mercy, granted him a sign. Now, I don't have time to go into that this morning. But I just want to make the emphasis, I have to transition now. It's going to take me 2 or 3 more weeks to get through this series on Gideon. But let me pray for you, because I want you to walk out of here today knowing that you are a valiant warrior today. God has a plan for you. And you can overcome and you can do whatever God has for you if you'll just submit yourself to Him, surrender to Him. Jesus died on that cross. He rose from the dead so He can make you a Gideon with our strengths, with our weaknesses, and be confident, because our confidence has to be in Him. And like I said, I'll pick this back up next time I share. Of course, we have Father's Day next Sunday. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I know this is a short word this morning, Father, but I pray that you would just bless it. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would encourage the people today that they are a valiant warrior, that their life is important, their life is valuable, and that you have a call and a destiny upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.